Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we'll be discussing Leistap Shedlach. In Halacha and Hashkafa, we will have Reb Daniel Korin, and we will have Dini of Dini's Wigs. We will also have cameo appearances by Rabbi Felder from Lakewood, Rabbi Yitzhak Berkowitz from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Gedalia Oberlander from Muncie, Reb David Feinstein from the Lower East Side.
Rabbi Say, what are your thoughts? 732-806-8700, press number 2. That's for what the B'nai HaYeshiva have to say. Or info@headlinesbook.com. We will post both messages, voicemails, as well as written, unless you request otherwise. But we're interested in what the Olam has to say.
I want to make an ad for our sponsor. I want to read two letters I got from listeners. Here's Ellie Cohn. He says, my son is a reader, and he spent all his time reading The Hunger Games, The Shadow Bone Trilogy, and The Darkest Minds series. By his bar mitzvah, somebody went ahead and bought him the volumes of Headlines. Since then, by the Shabbos table, he's been speaking about killing a terrorist, guns and shuls, views on alcohol consumptions by Kiddush. You've changed his life. I would like to thank you very much. And signed, Ellie Cohn. Here's another letter I got from Izer Moskovsky. My family lives in the United Kingdom. I feel immense hakaras hatov to you for your books. They're the most borrowed book of our English Torah library. They have opened up the depth, clarity, and relevance of the Torah to our students. I use them constantly as the sefer to learn b'chavrusa with my students during our weekly learning sessions. They have been instrumental in giving so many their first taste of authentic, deep Torah and Svara Yashara. We would love to have your latest book, Headlines 3, available too for our students. I am confident it will be the most loved and learned sefer on our shelves. These are, if you want to really learn about interesting topics, keep your children discussing, debating by the table, things other than politics, etc., go out and get Headlines 3. There are still some available in Svarim stores.
Before we go to our guests, I want to say a short word on the parsha. This week is Adas Korach. Korach and his 250 Nesiei Ho'eda, special people, Chashuva people, who joined Korach. Korach v'Adasai. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Don't listen to any of them. Don't be makabel. Don't listen. And then he makes a test. He says, Aaron is going to take a machta of k'tiris, and you each take one too. If the earth opens up and swallows you, you know that he's the real Nevi Hashem, he's the real Kohen. If not, you're the Kohanim. So they go and they take the 250 machtos, and the earth swallows them. In Briya Yivra Adama, it swallows them. So here's what's hard to understand. The psukim right after would say what? Hashem says to Moshe, take the 250 machtos, Ki Kadeshu, they are now holy. And what? Use them, Tzipoy Lamizbeach. What? This is the Machtos of Korach v'Adasai, Rishayim, the earth swallowed them. And we're using that for the Tzipoy Lamizbeach. And I think there's something powerful here. We see the world as black and white. Somebody's good or bad. He's a tzaddik, he's a rasha, there is a Beinoni, but we do see people usually as black or white. But here we see something interesting. They were clearly rishayim, the earth swallowed them, something that almost has never happened before, never happened since. But you know what? It's used l'tzipui l'mizbeach because they did have something holy, they did have a holy kavana. Wrong it was, but they wanted to be Makdik Torahs, and that's holy. And by the way, even though Rashi says the reason why we used it is to show, just like, look what happened to the bad guys. But on the other hand, they could have done a plaque. There was some other way they could have done it besides Tzipui L'Mizbeach. But Tzipui L'Mizbeach means the holy spark. Even somebody who is questionably good, you're going to get Tzchar for that too. And this is very against the whole concept of black and white. It seems like the Rabbeinu Shalom looks at people of many colors. Shol, let Amalek as a nation continue by not killing Agag. He didn't kill the Givonim too. And yet, what do we say? Shol shaloi nisbad ka'alacha, klal Yisrael is nenash. They say over a story from the Balatanya, somebody walked into him to give him a kvittel, and the Balat Tanya looked at him, and he saw somebody, mamish mechur, dirty with averis, and he like recoiled. Then he said, he regretted it, and he put his head down, and he thought, and he thought, and he found seven things that this person was better than him at. It's not black or white. Lamnatseach lebnei Korach mizmar. The children of Korach, there was something holy in them too. 12 kapitlach in Tehillim are for bnei Korach, even though they were also swallowed. But it seems some tshuva they did, and it says the oimid al pischei shol gehenim, and they say Moshe emes for terase emes, and 12 mizmar in Tehillim. Yeah, they were that's Korach, but there was something good in them too. And we see this in relationships too. A couple are fighting, and one says, I always disliked him, he's mamish, this and that. Well, the woman could say it too. Really? He's all bad? You never had a good walk together? You never had a good meal together? A good Shabbos? There was never some moment that there was love? Of course there was. But all we see, we can't find that holy spark, that spark of goodness. We only see it as black and white. You know, when Pari has a chalom, he says there were sheva shibolim oilois bakana, briois vetoivois. And then afterwards, sheva shibolim dakois, shtuvois, really diseased, withered. That's the dream. But when he says over to Yosef, he says it with an embellishment. He says, vatochalna haporois harakois veroois esheva haporois reishinas. But he adds on something. Vatovoine el kerbena. What does Pari say? When they swallowed them, when the skinny ones swallowed the healthy ones, were swallowed by the diseased ones, he says, there was no remnant of the original Paris or the Shibolim. There was no remnant of it. Really? There was no remnant? You had 7 good years. You had 7 good years, 7 years of memories. There's nothing left. So this midah of when we look at something and we don't find that spark of holiness, that's the midah of Parai. What does the Rabbeinu Shalom say? You had a heilig thought, even though you're Kairach Vadasei. We use this as tzipui lamizbeach. Before we go to Leis Tap Shetels, to the discussion with Rabbi Koren, I would like to give a little hagdama. The topic starts with the Shulte Gibarim. He lived in the 1500s, and he brings on the Gibarim Shabbos, he says, you know, women can wear sheitlach to beautify themselves and to make themselves attractive to their husbands. And this that we say, Sar Be'isha Erva, is only real hair that's growing from your head. If it's not growing from your head, you could even use your own hair. Doesn't mention a word of Marasayin. He says it's absolutely mutter. So the Be'er Sheva, who lived, 1550, 50 years after him, actually came from Venice. Very interesting. He brings the Shulte Gibarim and he vehemently argues on him. He says, what? Make a pay a nachris? That's Maris Ayin. People are going to look at you and they think your hair is uncovered. How could you wear a sheitel? And therefore he answers all sheitlach. He says they're all Maris Ayin. Seemingly, the Shulte Gibarim does not believe that it's Maris Ayin. Whereas Ramosha brings 5 reasons why you don't say Marasayan by Sar Be'isha. We'll get to them soon. How do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Magen Avram, the Darkei Moshe, etc. They all paskin. In fact, the Magen Avram brings, he says, and we don't paskin like the Shulte Gibarim, seemingly to say that we don't hold that there's Marasayan, that by looking at a Shetel, there would be a problem of Marasayan, and they paskin like the Shulte Gibarim that it's Mutter. Now, the Maral Diskin says, we're not clear, it's not clear from him if he sells it in the Shulte Gibarim. It's debatable because the Shulte Gibarim says very clearly, Ein Isser Bishar Isha, Bishar Isha, Ella Mechuberes Lebsara. There is no Isser, only if it's attached to her head. Doesn't make any, he's not equivocal about it. He says it very clearly. The Meral Diskin comes and he says, there is Marasayan. And he additionally adds, Viesh Shash here, there's here too. When it's not apparent that it's a wig, it has to be verily clearly a wig, or it's Maris Ayin. The Meral Diskin seems to paskin, like the Be'er Sheva, that there is Maris Ayin by Sheitlach. Now he also brings, besides Maris Ayin, Yesh Shash here. Interestingly, this is not brought by almost anybody, and one of the reasons would be, or seemingly the reason would be, is if the Sheitel was the problem of here, then what's the difference? A single girl can go around with her hair. There's no chashash here. But the minute she puts on a shekel, the exact same person, it is a chashash here. It's a shveris svara, which is why it's not bought by practically any other paisik that precedes him or after him. But they do bring the problem of marasayin. Now, Ramosha brings five reasons why it's not marasayin. One, he says, if the Gemara brings it and doesn't say marasayin, we can't add on to Gemara. One, he says, marasayin is always by a lav. We don't find marasayin by an assay. And gilui sar is an assay. That's the second reason. He says, the third reason, he says, usually most women, even if it's very natural, they look at it and they say, I know this is a sheitel. Just like he says, just by shaving, there's no marasayin to say, you know, you can't use a shaver because of marasayin. He says, because people who shave with a razor, they know, they look at you and they say, no, this isn't as close as a shave as a razor. So he says, it's only by women. In other words, it's only the yoidei dover. If they look at you and they can't see it, they know it's a sheitel. Contrary, they know there's no marasayin because they know it's a sheitel. The fourth reason he brings is you can't mafkia the cheskas kashrus of a woman because those who know her say, she's never walking out of sheitel. Must be a really good sheitel. So he says, we look at the cheskas kashrus. And he also, the fifth reason he says is that the main reason of marasayin is that maybe they'll learn from her, you know, to act this way. He says, there's so many prutzais in the street that walk around with their hair uncovered. They're not going to learn from this person. They'll learn from the other person. So he basically says five reasons. And he says that, therefore, because of these five reasons, there is no marasayin by a peya nachris. And it doesn't matter where you can tell or not. It's still an assay as opposed to a lois assay. His reasons clearly not relevant whether you could tell or not. So here's Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz, big Paisik from Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to point out something very similar.
I want to bring something else up. You know, there's a new controversy. I was bombarded with emails today. Two kinds. One, frantic women. The other one, Rabbanim with Charamim, the Batei Din, and all the Rabbanim in Rashi Yeshiva, in Lakewood, in Muncie, in Borough Park. All came out about these lace, was it lace top shaitel, the lace top shaitels. Mutar asr, I read their psak halacha. It's hard to talk. It's very hard to talk. It doesn't sound, I don't know where they're coming from. But I'd like to phrase it this way. If they were all right with the shaitels before the lace top, then it should make no difference that you have a lace top. I don't see any change whatsoever. If everything up until this point was glatt kosher, then so are the lace tops. They are no less dignified. They made the claim that, number one, you can't tell if the woman is married. So I don't know where they got that halacha from. Where does it say you've got to tell if the woman is married? There's another halacha marasayin. If people know she's married and think she's not covering her head, then they're going to be kosher to her. Nobody's going to be kosher to a married woman today, especially since lace tops are now in. I don't know where that halacha came from. If they were all right with the shekels till today, what changed? I don't get it. They made up a new rule, a natural looking shekel. What are you talking about? People that are familiar with shekels, they know it's a shekel. People that aren't don't know it's a shekel. So what changed? Because this is more natural. But the women know that too. What has changed? I think they're a little late. They should have come out a long time ago.
What's Rabbi Berkowitz's point? He says, we're not chayshish from marasayin. And if we were, they should never allow any human hair wig. But clearly, we go with Ramesh's psak that says human hair wigs are fine, as would be the lace top sheitlach, because flat, there is no maris ayin paisha. Now here's Rabbi Yitzchak Felder, who seemingly disagrees with Rabbi Berkowitz, and he says there is a problem with lace top sheitlach.
This is the right time. The lady goes out, but you have one covered. That is the term. Whatever the reason is, it's not a kabbalah that can reason. You can understand. It makes a lot of sense. But I put him, the term didn't want the lady to go out. Here, the hair is fine. Let's say she wears a shekel. Very nice shekel. Very nice shekel. Everybody wears shekel that are up to the shoulders. And this lady put a shekel that is 3 feet hanging down in the back of the hair. Now, everybody sees it's a shekel, but she's attracting attention. There's nobody wears such a long shekel. She's the only one kind of wears. So certainly sneers, she shouldn't be wearing it, but she's Akabatim, she's doing what the Torah wanted. The Torah said, have your hair covered, has hair covered. Let's say a lady wears a sheitel, that you can't even tell that she's wearing a sheitel. Anybody looks at her, it looks exactly like she wears a hair, and you can't tell the difference. So it's not just absurd, it's defeating the whole idea of what the Torah said. You want the hair to be covered, whatever. You're not doing something to have a hand because anybody that looks to it. So technically speaking, it's not our hand, but an idea of having the head covered, if you look at the lady at the person's heart, it looks exactly like she's wearing, she's not covering here. How can you call that what the Torah wanted when the Torah wanted the head to be covered? So I'm a historian for bringing out this idea. There was a lady that took a picture of herself. She was with her husband and the kids by the beach, but not Kosher Beach, where there was not mixed. That's mixed. She sent it to her grandmother, I think, who was a mother. And the mother was said, you're not wearing a shekel. You're not wearing a shekel. So she said, well, the truth is, she says, I have a shekel that looks, these type of shekels that looks exactly like my hair. Nobody can tell the difference from wearing a shekel if not wearing a shekel. So I threw it here by the beach. It's going to get my good $2,000 shekel. It's going to get all dirty and everything. Why should I wear a shekel? Nobody's going to know the difference. I won't wear a shekel. Everybody will think I'm wearing a shekel. And I don't have to get my $2,000 shekel to get messed up. So I didn't wear a shekel because what's the difference? So we understand that that's not what the Torah wanted. The Torah said that having your cover did not want that. You look at you. Can't tell the difference from here. So I think everybody understands that. It makes a lot of sense.
Rabbi Felder is saying that the reason women cover their hair is that you should be able to tell she's married. Now, it's a beautiful svara, but it doesn't seem that any of the other poskim that either precede him all the way back to the Shilta Gebarim who lived in the year 1500, none of them say this svara that the reason of a sheitel is that you should know she's married. I mean, the reason for the sheitel is because the Torah said it's erva and it's xeris akasiv. We're not doirish time of dekra. But it could be that Rabbi Felder is saying that you want to know that the woman's married, and if not, there's something pretistic about it. So it would be more hashkafadik asfara, really, than a halachadik asfara. Now, here's the Rabbi Oberlander from Muncie, who's going to argue that it is marasayin.
Question. Can you please clarify the topic of lace top sheitlich? You had mentioned that it's problematic due to marasayin. I was told that a man cannot say a duvish begdisha if a woman is wearing such a sheitel. What happens if one of my guests is wearing it, do I have a problem with making Kiddush? So, as I mentioned in the previous shiurim, wearing a lace top sheitel is osur. As I mentioned, because you cannot see that it is hair, so there is maras ayin, people will think that you don't cover your hair, and you're ever of Issa D'Raisa. And as Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in Igros Moshe, even Ezer Chalik Bais, Sif Yud Bais, that only if a person could see when he stands close to the sheitel, he could see that it's a sheitel and it's not hair, it's mutter to go. And if it's a sheitel that even when you stand close, you cannot realize and recognize that it's a sheitel, there's a problem with maras ayin. But to say that it's a duver sheba erve and you cannot say a duver sheba gdish in front of it, there's no such a thing. Because a erve is only hair which is connected to your head. And as the Shilta Geboirim, which is the main matter on Sheitlech, writes in Shabbos Daf Chof Tes Umad Aleph, when he writes the heter of Sheitlech, he writes that a person could wear a sheitel, and even if it's human hair, it's still mutter if it's a sheitel. And he says, Sar b'isha erve is only hair which is connected to your flesh. It's connected to your head. And you could see the hair together with the head. So, again to your question, there is no problem to saying a duvish b'kdish, or making kiddush, or making a bracha, davening, in front of a person who wears a lace-top sheitel. But you have to know for sure that it's a lace-top sheitel, it's not hair. But if you know, if the person told you so, that it's a lace-top sheitel, there's not a problem of duvish b'erva and saying duvish b'gdish in front of that person, although the person does an iser by wearing it.
Now, it could be marasayin, but where he brings Ramesh and he says that this one reason by a human hish, by a laced up sheitel, wouldn't apply, Ramesh would agree it's marasayin, it's true that that one reason, he may be right, but the other four reasons aren't relevant. For example, when he says the Gemara didn't bring it, the din of marasayin, so therefore there can't be. Or when he says, by an assay there is no marasayin. So one of the reasons of Ramesh would fall away, but the other four reasons of no marasayin would not fall away. So let's read a letter that came out from a number of huge Talmidei Chachamim, and let me read it. It is our chiyuv to make the tzibur fully aware that some of the sheitels being sold currently are aser pidin. Our Messiah allows pas nachris, as is brought down by the Ramah, the Magen Avraham, etc. But he says, the Meral Diskin says, it has to be nicker, but if you can tell, there is a din of marasayin. So they bring the Meral Diskin, who says there is a din of marasayin. Now, Ramesha clearly said, there is no din, it's impossible for there to be a din of marasayin. And Ramesha says, and that is also the opinion of, he learns differently. He learns that the Magen Avraham, the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, etc., all say, Ramesha learns that there is no marasayin, and that's why they matter it. Now, additionally, they bring the Halicha Shleima and Rav Vosner, who said there is B'shalos Yeshuvas Shevet Levi. I mean, they believe, certainly Rav Vosner believed, that a sheitel has to clearly be, you know, almost synthetic, and you shouldn't wear it, because he's being chayshish for the opinion of the Be'er Sheva. Agav Urcha, the Mishnah Bura says, he brings the Shulchan Aruch, that it's Mutta. Then he says, V'yesh Oisrim. He's, in other words, he's saying, you can be, you should be, you know, it's possible to be Machmir like the Be'er Sheva. But he concludes that you can be, so he brings from the Prima Gadim, that if you want to be Simach on the Shulchan Aruch and say that there is no Marasayan, it would be Mutta. So it's true that there are still, even today, there are opinions that there's Marasayan, but we don't do that because we take on Ramesh's opinion that there is no marasayin for the five reasons that he quotes. So this letter is correct, but only if you are machmir, like the opinions, you know, of the Be'er Sheva, maybe the Meral Diskin, the Shevet Levi, etc., that the Choshish for marasayin today. But like the Magen Avraham says, he brings the opinion of the Be'er Sheva, and he says it's an incorrect opinion. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So there's really, are they correct? They're absolutely correct. They're correct if we paskin as marasayin. But if there is no marasayin, and that's what we paskin, there's really nothing new about the lace cap sheitels different than a human hair sheitels. Human hair sheitels. And I believe that was the point of Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz. So the question is, would there be a din of tzniyas or pritas? That could be. Like a woman could wear clothing that's not pritas, like she could act in a behavior that's in a manner that's not pritas. By the way, a man can too. The din of hatznei aleches im Hashem alekech is talking about men, it's not talking about women. So yes, there could be an element of pritas, there could be an element of tzniyas, but that is not particular to lace cap shekels. I would, perhaps it's just particular to any weird clothing, any article of clothing that's not tzniyastic. So there's really very little new over here. That's the point of Rabbi Berkowitz. Agav Urcha, when Ramesha finishes his psak, somebody asked him and he said, you know, it bothers me that my wife wants to wear a sheitel. Ramesha says, you know, it's not up to you, it's up to her. It's her head. It's her, it's not in your position to tell your wife whether to wear a sheitel or not, certainly when she has poskim on who to be saimach. And here's a short clip I had. I spoke to Reb Reuven Feinstein, and he said a story basically the same as the way Ramesha paskins, that initially it bothered him, you know, that his wife, you know, was wearing a sheitel. And Ramesha said, it's really not up to you, it's up to her. Listen to this short clip from Rav Reuven Feinstein.
And what was Rosh Hashiva's opinion? Did you ever hear him speak about sheitlach? And what was his opinion about sheitlach? Is it a bit diyeved? Is it like what was his feeling?
I'll tell you exactly what he told me. Okay, when I got married, my mother used to only have a turban. Okay, so I told my wife when I got married that you're going to have to wear either a hat or a turban, right? Because you don't have sheitlach. Okay, I did the research on all the training, and like because I wrote a sticky tape on it that the way she deceived all that it's left to be evident or not even good, whatever it is, there. Okay, fine. Others, the ones I make, will be in the family. Anyway, married about 10 years, maybe, not quite so long. My wife calls me up and she says to me, didn't you tell me that, you know, that your father's against sheitlach and therefore, you know, I have to wear hats and what you go? I said, yeah. She said, then how come I went with your mother today to buy a sheitlach? So I said, I probably don't know. I'm going to call my father and find out what's going on. So my father told me, these are the words, this mitzvah is a woman's mitzvah, not the man's bragging power, not the man's anything. If she has a shining that back her up, do whatever she wants.
The cover of the hair is the woman. The covering of the hair, right?
Is the woman has nothing to do with the husband. And therefore, if she has a shayinim that back her up, that's fine.
I would like to add that subsequent to our posting this program, we got emails and calls. Why didn't we have the other side of this position explained? And we should have had another Rav on. And we called many Rabbanim, including both Rabbanim whose clips we played that were anti-Leis Shetels, and asked them if they would come on and explain their positions. And they all refused. If you know a Rav who wants to explain the anti-Leis Shetel position, it would be a covet to have him on next week. And now for the winners of last week's riddle, we have Noach Maimon, Meir Kraz, A.B. Husney, David Berenbaum, second time he won, Baruch Davis, Moshe Aaron Cohn, Svi Rosen, Abba Walk, it's at least the second time he's won, maybe the third, Chaim Schwartz, and Moshe Katei. Those are the winners. They will all receive either a safe or some type of a gift. I guess if this is the third time winning, it's hard to give a safer, but we'll reward them some other way. So here's the first riddle. The Rambam writes, Yesodei HaTorah Lach Aleph, that Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Haminu Bo Yisrael Mipnei Oisis, it wasn't because of Oisis. Oisis could be, you know, played with. Look at Chatume Paro, he also had Oisis, but they believed him. And he says, Shemaim and Alpi Oisis, Yesh Beli Be Daifi, he could have been, you know, a good magic trick. He says it could be done by Kishuf of a lot. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu Haminu Bay. Why? He says, rather, the Isis that Moshe did was when he was just incidental to him. It was not to bring a raya in his nevuah. He said he had to split the yam. He did it. They needed mazon. He brought down the man. They were thirsty. He split the evin. He says, Kafru Bay Adas Moshe. And it wasn't because they didn't believe him for any of these tricks. And he brings another reason how they believed in him. He's Mavaya, though, that Psichas Piaretz, it was not to be Mechazik de Navua, it was just an Einish, an incidental Einish. Sarachin Gadol, what does the Pasuk say? Bezois Tedon, Ki Hashem Shlochani. So he says clearly the Pasuk says that the tour of the Einish of Adas Kairach is that the Yidin Laman Yaminu Yisrael, the Moshe Shu Shliach Hashem. That is the first riddle of the week. We're going to just have two riddles this week. What do we learn this week's parsha? Kein Tarimu Gamatem Trumas Hashem. So the Gemara Dashens, Atem to tell you, L'Rabbi Shluchachem. Ma'atem B'nei Bris, Av Shluchachem B'nei Bris. You are a Ben Bris, you're not an Akum. Av Shluchachem. Now the Gemara says in Idarim, Hani Kehani, Shluchad Rachmaninu, or Shluchad Idaninu. So here's the question. If the Kehanim are our Shliach, Shlichas, how could a Goy bring a carbon? He basi best filal chalamim. Goyim are not B'nei Shlichaso. And we hold that you makabal, the Gemara in Chulin, you makabal Nedarim and Nedavis from a Goy. The reason why a carbon can be taken through a Kayin is because the Kayin is a Shliach. We also have a Pasuk that says, a Gemara that says, that you cannot be a Shliach for Goyim. If the Kayin cannot be a Shliach for the Goy, how could the Goy possibly be Mekayim? What for him would be the mitzvah of carbon? That is our second riddle. Again, we will announce the winners next week.
As always, if you'd like to send in a comment, 732-806-8700, and for comments, it's 2. Or you can email us, info@headlinesbook.com. We do put up the comments and the letters online where readers or listeners can access them unless you request otherwise.
Now let's go to our guests.
Joining us from Muncie is Rav Daniel Koren. He's a Rav in Muncie. He's one of the Rabbanim in Shiner Shul, probably the biggest shul in Muncie. He gets hundreds of shilas, a lot of it on a WhatsApp group. Welcome, Reb Daniel.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the special David.
Reb Daniel, is a lace top shaitel permissible?
The lace top shaitel of Anyus Daiti is permitted, and Bezat Hashem will explain why I feel this way. Although, of course, there's different opinions, and as we'll explain, both opinions seem to have credence, but the majority, and certainly what it seems to be the halacha, I would say that it's totally mutter.
Can you explain to us what the issue is and why you feel that way?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, thank you. This is an incredible schus to share a sugya that, even though it seems to be something new, is actually, as we say many times, Ein Chodesh Tachas Hashemes, and even though Rashi says in Kohelet that really is not referring to Torah. Torah is always Chidushim, so even in this sugya there's going to be Chidushim, hopefully. But it's something actually that goes back many, many centuries. In general, what's called a sheito, lace top sheito, but specifically sheito, has an incredible history in the Lashon of Chazal. It's called a Peya Nochis. And before I just really, to begin the sugya of Peya Nochis, we have to understand Peya Nochis literally, actually, in English, it's translated probably the closest to a wig. And historically, if you look at the history of wigs, it seems to have started and maybe was populated in Egypt. And one of the main reasons was actually it was worn by men, not by women. One of the main reasons actually was to protect from heat of the sun. And then over the centuries, it was developed on many different levels, and in other words, generations and centuries where they were elaborate. And there were generations where we see that it actually dropped in its interest. Fascinating to note that King Louis XIII made it very popular. And as we'll see, that the reason why I'm mentioning this is not just because it's interesting historically, but actually plays a tremendous role in halacha and in deciding this shaila. So let's start really with the sugya. Generally speaking, when it comes to the sheito itself, historically, there's been many opinions, min hakotze el hakotze. On the one hand, you have people like Gedolei Olam, like the Chazon Ish, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichronon Livracha, that very much pushed the Sheito. They didn't like the idea of the Mitpachat, which is quite popular in Israel, and they more like call it the Mizrahi Olam. In English, that would be equal to Tichel, which more also you find by Hasidim. But one of the reasons why they pushed that, they didn't like the idea that it wasn't always covering, the Tichel wasn't always covering properly. So they Chazon Ish, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe pushed very much a sheito. As we'll soon see, that the sheito itself, of course, went to different levels. And we'll get back to it, hopefully, Siyata Dishmaya, just the tzmius of it, because I think that's probably the biggest chus of the recent controversy of the lace top sheito, is again, really the ability and the opportunity to re-explain or maybe reintroduce in a healthy way the whole concept of sheitel, and specifically modesty. So in Mitzvah, we'll get to that. Let's also not forget that when we learn halacha, to be able to put into perspective the level of the severity, the daraisa, the rabbanon, etc., and it plays a tremendous role in bin adam lechaveroi, as we'll see. So interesting to note that the sugya really starts per nochis, starts in the Mishnah, in Masechet Shabbos, Amud Daled Amud Beis. And the one that made the sheito, let's call it, quite popular in halacha is the Shilte Giborim. Interesting that the Shilte Giborim was a Sfaradi. We'll get back to that, whether Sfaradim, also Sfardiyot, have any question of whether they could wear a sheito or not. But the Shilte Giborim in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chavtes, basically, based on the Mishnah, the pastors of the Mishnah, that a woman could go out with a te'anochit, what we'll call today a sheito. So he says that from here, this is the source that women in his time go out with hair that's made, some type of sheito that's made up from hair. And he, in fact, says that it makes no difference if it's their hair, meaning their own hair that they cut and they put together, or someone else's hair. Now, it's interesting that Shilte Giborim is really living in the generation of the Ramah. And the Ramah really bases his psak essentially on the Shilte Giborim, as we'll see in a moment. The most, I would say, powerful and probably the best way to start the discussion about specifically lace top and sheitels is a Moshe's tshuva. A Moshe's tshuva is really, so after you go through the tshuva, they'll mention right when the controversy actually started, for some reason I recalled this tshuva, and it was just so powerful in so many ways to read the tshuva. And then afterwards, to go through the sugya, which hopefully we'll be zeichet to do, and see how Rav Moshe, without seeing many of the Rishonim Kedalka B'Kodesh, he wasn't always looking into all the, specifically the Achronim, but somehow was able to be mechaven to many, many of the svaras that the Achronim have suggested. There's an interesting sefer, a likut that they put out about exactly 20 years ago, someone in Muncie, it's called Or Yisrael. Really could die if someone wants to see some of the tshuvas that are already discussing exactly this shaila of the laystop. Essentially, the laystop argument, just to make it clear for the listeners that don't know yet what the controversy is, that the laystop seems to make it much more human-looking, and therefore it's very difficult for even women to be able to distinguish between a regular sheitel, let's call it, that is obvious to a person that the woman is covering her hair, as opposed to now what they call lace tops, which make it very human looking, that the women have to like stare for a while to be able to figure out that they're actually wearing a sheitel. So this, you would think it's a new thing, as we'll see, number one in the Moshe's tshuva, but it actually goes back years, centuries, that this is nothing new, and whoever, there's Baruch Hashem, many producers of these wigs, interesting that one of the main tainas, actually, 20 years ago in one of these tshuvas, is the taina that the old sheitels were made of goat's hair, kash, straw, and the type of very cheap stuff that was so obvious.
Well, clearly from the Shulta Yibarim clearly says not. He discusses using your own hair. He says the only way it's osur is if you stick it to your head with glue or something, but otherwise it's not. And by the way, just for the edification of Olam, Shulta Yibarim lived around, was born in around 1500. So this goes back a long way.
Exactly. His name was Yeshua Boyaz. Interesting that, like I mentioned this Friday, and with David, you're 100% correct. We're going to soon see, not just from the Shilta Giborim, but from the biggest contenders, the contesters, specifically the Be'er Sheva, who wrote a tshuva with tremendous, chavada and concern and everything else, and they think they're going to end up being the biggest proof why these lay stops are okay. But I think we'll get back to that. First, it's kedai to look at Evan Ezra, Simon Chelek Beis, Simon Yud Beis. Where Rav Moshe is writing a tshuva to a person by the name of Rav David Lapa, Rav David Lapa Shlita. Now, the tshuva is written actually as a response as he writes to his Rabbanit. So Rabbanit HaKvuda Tichya, so she obviously went and asked the shayla to Rav Moshe. It wasn't the shayla that actually came from the husband, which is interesting. And he basically, the husband of David is concerned. What is he concerned with? Exactly the shayla of the laystop. He's concerned with the fact that there's a concern of Maris Ein. And Rav Moshe right away goes straight to the source, Atel Skenim or Chaim Simanayin Hei. Simanayin Hei, as we'll soon see, is really one of the main sources where the Shilta Gibarim is quoted, the halacha, based on, in the Ramah, and clear that there's no distinction between what type of shaytos. We'll get back to that. But just to focus on Moshe, so Moshe basically says, Mikom Makom, even though the Teres Kenim does introduce Maris Ein, so if anyone thinks there's no opinions about Maris Ein, no, there's definitely opinions. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah even mentions it. We'll see that in a moment. But Apapikin, Zotra Moshe, he says the following, Mikom Makom, Rov Rabbi Seinu, וגם אלה שסוימכים עיקורי הוירו עליהם, מתירים, והם הרמה שם עושים מן שינגים לדרכי מוישה מהגנבם פרימגלים. Basically, המוישה starts off by saying, רויב רביסנו, the majority, הסוימך, not concerned with מריס עין. וכן משמע גם מהזו, שסוימכים שלוי עושו בזה משום מריס עין. So that's number one.
I think Ramayisha gives five reasons why there's no מריס עין.
Right, well, so we'll get to this fascinating tshuva. I think there's also, like I said, you know, every tshuva and every gadol, especially like a Moshe, is a lesson also in midos. What's more important than midos? And I'll tell you something. Yesterday, Mina Shemaim, someone came to me and told me a story from a Moshe. Someone went to ask a Moshe a shaila about a sefer, if he should learn the sefer, because it was a little bit questionable. So a Moshe said, you should not rely on the sefer la'alacha. So the person said, but he has haskamas. So Moshe said, look at the haskamas. They mention nothing about his midos. It's only about his brilliance. So Moshe, If someone doesn't have mitzvahs, you can't follow the halacha. An incredible unleashing. So I'm just saying that we'll see why am I mentioning this, because a lot of this tshuva is mitzvahs. Why? Says Lamaisha, first of all, by Pemach, he goes on to explain, you can't, you know, even though it would seem that there's a concern of Maris Ayin, he says, first of all, you cannot learn one Maris Ayin from another Maris Ayin. Just because in one place it goes there doesn't mean in other places it goes. I saw also in some of the Achronim, the tshuva that I mentioned before, that Maris Ayin is not even necessarily a regular gezeira, a big yesoid. It's a tikkun. And it's a tikkun that Chazal sought to put in specific places. Not only that, go to Maisha, another point is that here it's not even a lav. It could be maybe by a mitzvah asay, the asay of covering one's hair, which is an incredible discussion, not for now, of whether it's the Raisa Drabbanan and all the shitas. So like I said, it's important to keep that in mind, what level of severity this is. But Milvad says, go to Maisha, that you can't compare and say that there's a din of Maris Ayin just because in other places there was. And he goes on to give a shtickle, I think, Musar. He says, just like you'll see when it comes to giluach of a zakan, shaving. So, of course, one's not allowed to use towel, one's not allowed to use a razor. We found many ways to get an accomplish over the years, and even in the past, very good close shaving without using the towel, without using a razor. Zotamaisha, why aren't we
worried about... To the point where people can't tell the difference, right?
Exactly. So Zotamaisha, why aren't... And here, you have five lavin. Why won't they go so that maybe you cannot use any of the best shavers, trimmers, and some this type of thing that they used to shmear in order to have such a close, beautiful look like a towel? Why weren't they going so of Maris Ayin? So Zot Lamaisha, but also Bishul Pam, you see, first of all, that they were not Goizel just because there is a Svala to make a Maris Ayin. And not only that, Lamaisha says, as Big Yisoid, he says, once you have, you're amongst people that are shaving correctly, so now there's Be'etzem Acheskas Kashrus. So not only are we're not going on Maris Ayin, you should know a new Svara. But even if you're going to be concerned maybe with Maris Ayin, Moshe says, when you're amongst people, Anashim Ksherim, are doing everything else right, you have to assume that their close shave is actually being done by Kashrus. Zot Moshe, by Pei Anochis, it's the same thing. So I want to be truthful to the Tshuva. Moshe first says that there's no din of Maris Ayin. But then he goes on to say, even if you're going to be concerned with Maris Ayin, still the sheitels can be distinguished by women. Not by men, he says. Women that know are able to distinguish, which is an interesting point.
Rabbi Daniel, let me interrupt you.
Yes.
This Shabbos, we had a, you know, prasham, a big table, and there were five or six women, and I said, who could tell a lace top shetel? And five out of the six women said they could tell that it's a lace top shetel. So the fact that men can't tell the difference, Ramoshi says, that's not what's kaveh of Maris Ayin, as long as women can tell the difference.
Right. By the way,
if any of our listeners, yes, if many women listeners disagree or agree, please leave a message. Please leave on our comment section.
Right. We actually had a discussion with my daughters, et cetera. It's very true. In fact, I spoke to one of the big poskim in America recently. He told me he sat down, a bunch of ladies. Some said yes, some said no. But I want to explain why, even if you're going to say that women can't tell the difference anymore. Let's Lu Yitzur that that's true. It won't make a difference. And the reason for that is Zot HaMoshah Nu Chiddush. HaMoshah said, and it's not a Nu Chiddush because I found this already earlier, that this is already from one of the, I forgot which tshuva that I saw. Oh, Hashem, I saw a lot of tshuvas, the earlier tshuva. So one of those, maybe it's a tshuva, I forgot, that the Yisrael is once it is a common thing to wear sheitels, so now you have to assume that the woman is becheskas kashrus and she's wearing. So if she looks the part and everything else, which hopefully she should, and if she's a haimish, she's definitely looking like different than any of the ladies outside Baruch Hashem, especially in the standards of what dressing is. So everything else looks the part. You have to assume, and she's coming to yeshiva and bringing her daughters to her kids to yeshiva, or coming to shul, you have to assume that that's anyway a sheitel, even if you couldn't tell the difference.
An example would be, Chazal originally said, Maris Ayin is by milk or butter if you bring them to a table, you know, with meat.
Right.
So the Pais can say that when there's almond milk, So that you, exactly. And it's, in other words, once it's common, once it's, so originally it said you would have to leave shvedim near the almond milk. But the Paiskim today say margarine is so common and a parva milk is so common, you don't have to bring the margarine wrapper to the table like a mull. Why? Because Maris Ayin, when it's no more Maris Ayin, because it's common behavior, that's not Maris Ayin anymore. And so if a woman from your community, a frum woman, walked into shul and her hair looked very natural, exactly. You're not going to assume she's running around without a shetel. You're going to assume, wow, that's probably a very good shetel.
Exactly. Now, this is already, like I said, El Moshe writes this straight out, and it's also already, I found it earlier, but the Mevadat, El Moshe goes on to say, and this is the end of the tshuva, I paraphrase the tshuva, but another incredible lesson. Look, El Moshe, lechem l'dina, because this is important, I got a lot of shalom bias situations. I got a lady from Monroe calling me about, you know, how to deal with it. There were women, the reason why, I think this is so important to speak out because on the one hand, of course, we have to respect every rav, et cetera. But at the same time, we have to make sure that people know that and have clarity on this because there were real nechamas. There were people that told me that that's it. They decided they could tell their son-in-law and their daughter-in-law what to do and how and it became a deraisa. When this whole discussion, according to many, even covering the hair is not so fresh as deraisa, but certainly this shayla maris ayin is going to be a pasuk that they a derabbanan, and like we said, there's so much room to say that the essence of everyone today will agree that there's no din maris ayin. So now to go and hurt someone, with words, etc., create a melchama is something that is not acceptable, but unfortunately, the Yitzhar has the ability to do that. So Moshe was already mechaven to that. Lachem ledina en kvoy terosoy zot Moshe to Rav David Lapa. He should be blessed. If I don't know who he is, but he should be blessed. And the God going to school is Zakai. Because of him, we're learning this incredible lesson. But Moshe said to him, en kvoy terosoy yochalim chos piyad ishto harabanit hachashuvah mi lilvosh peanochit. You cannot tell your wife not to wear a peanochis, a shetel. Why? She'afim kvoy terosoy rosal ha'achmir. You want to be machmir? And like we said, someone wrote a list of about 50 against 50 of the Oysim and Natir Legabe Shetel. This is a long discussion. But if you want to be Machmir, even though it was Mekubal already by most that it's okay, nevertheless, he says, Eino Yochel Hatu Chumrois of Alea, Shezeu Rak Din Shalah. Don't put your Chumas on her, it's her own Din. Vekevan Shi Oysa Kedin, Shi Keloiv HaPoiskim. Shi Amira Kemoisam, Rok Namoisha, it's Loiv HaPoiskim, it's Mira Kemoisam, Eino Yochel Achmir Alea, even if she doesn't cover it all, because this lady happens to be that she was wearing also a hat on top of the peanochis, which actually I saw recently the Chafetz Chaim's wife also did. But the point here says, Lemoshe, and I want to finish with these, and then I'll tell you. So we said, and you're one of the people that shaved the samu misparayim te'entar, meaning like a shaver, and you're not concerned about maris ayin, so actually that means to be out there, like I explained, why? Don't be machmen, your wife is peanochis, why? You're contradicting your own self. Now, this, Ramosha, is so important because as I introduced, the concept of halacha has to be with midos. And if a person is going to start being busy with his own chumas and someone else and pointing fingers, especially when it comes to the topic of modesty, which hopefully we'll get to at the end, he's making a major mistake. He wanted to say something.
No, I was going to say over the last point of Ramosha, don't push your chumas on somebody else.
Exactly.
Rabbi Stroll used to say, we have to be makpid on the other person's gashmias and our own ruchnias, not the other way around.
Exactly.
Rabbi Daniel, is it fair to say that the same Maris Ayin that we have on the lace top shetels, same thing as with the human hair shetels that are not not lace tops? I mean, a lot of people, certainly Goyim, could miss. Look, like somebody told me, all the newscasts, the women, many of them wear wigs. Well, they're not lace top. So the same concept of if you believe and you agree with our science should be usher on all the human hairs or many of the human hairs. And at the time, it became accepted. So we see that Maris Ayin is not accepted halacha by most of the women in the world. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I also want to tell you that just to put it in context of halacha. Very simple. Open up Siman Ayin Hey in Or HaChaim. The Ayin Hein Or HaChaim is the source where the Ramah Paskins, he says, because the Shulchan Aruch basically says, you're allowed to say Kriyat Shema in front of hair. That's usually, if it's meaning of its hair, that's not usually covered, it's not a problem. The Ramah says, Kol Shekin, when it comes to a Shetel. The Ramah is basing himself on the Shilta Giborim. The Shilta Giborim, as David, you said in the beginning, was the person who introduced this concept of wearing a Shetel. The Ramah is saying, and the Mishnah Berurah explicitly says this, no problem to wear a Shetel, he says, he says, that's a Yeshem and Yismach, and then he goes on to say, unless it's no one's wearing a Shetel, so then Taka, there's a Shailam Arisayim, by the way. But in any case, the Ramah is the Iker source, and the Ramah is basing it...
Well, the source is, it's really a Gemara. The Gemara says, it requires whether a woman is allowed to go out. It says a woman's... I want to comment one thing on the Shulchan Gibarim. The Shulchan Gibarim is searching for a way, how could it possibly be Aser? And he says, you know how it could be Aser? If she takes her own hair and attaches it directly to her skull. Where he says, you see both the hair and the... Now, why did he have to go to such a bizarre case when he's looking for an Issa where the woman attaches it to her skull? He just should have said, if she makes a Peyanachris that's very natural, then it's Asa. But he doesn't. He has to look for a really bizarre case to find a case that's Asa. So if you're Medayik in the Shulta Gibarim, it's quite mashma that even a Shetel that looks remarkably like a hair would be Mutta.
Correct. I'll just, Ben Mechazik, you don't have to go very far. That's what I mentioned. If you really want to understand throughout the centuries and throughout the Shailas and Tshuvas that you see that argued, they all say, wait a minute, how can you allow this? It looks exactly like her hair. So even the biggest screamers are basically saying, look, Shilta Gibarim, how can you say this is okay? Throughout the generations, we're seeing women walking around and it looks exactly like the hair. But wait a minute, that's exactly the argument. The Ramah didn't make any distinction. No one, Shilta Gibarim, didn't make any distinction. And yet they're using human hair. We're not using some, cash, like I said, from the beginning. So therefore, from the Shailas and Tshuvas themselves, and you know, there are those that try to make the Levush argue the Ramah, whatever it is, the simple pshat is that they did not make any concern of what's called the Marisayim. The concern is a different concern of, like I said, this is maybe you don't have enough time, so I guess I'm not zeichet to speak about, I think in my opinion, the most important thing, which is, as Moshe said, pointing fingers. The fingers pointing, if it's a healthy tie, there's a concern of modesty. The modesty is something that I think is being misinterpreted and misexplained. Modesty, if you open up the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Hatznei aleches v'mashem
elokecha." It's talking about a man, not a woman, by the way.
It's talking about, and not only that, by the way, tznius by a man is in Siman Beis in Or HaChaim. It comes way before Ayin Hey about women. But more importantly, and I think this is something that the women are crying about, and I think they're 100% right. The Gemara says, "Maseches Sukkah, mentesamud beis, hatznei aleches." What is that referring to? Listen to this amazing Gemara. He says like this. So someone said, what does that mean? Alavaya? Yeah. Zot Rashi, just to understand what tznius is. Tznius is not about what women wear. Tznius is a much deeper concept. Tznius is about doing things in a modest way, which means I'm doing things where I'm not trying to be pronouncing myself. I'm not trying to have color. So look at Rashi. Rashi says an amazing thing. Afsham tzorech hatznea lesuda. This is talking about the chasana. B'midana v'lismach b'midana v'lo lahani kalos roish be'atzmai. Those are the key words. You know what tznius is, of David? Tznius is anava. Tznius is that I recognize that there's a Shem here. And therefore, whatever I do, I'm concerned with how I'm going to appear. I'm concerned with how Hashem looks at my actions. If someone gets, and a woman posted this, and I think she's 100% right, she says, I put my shaita, I daven at home, I try to be a good yid. My husband is busy getting drunk, and I don't want to add everything else that goes with that list. And you're telling me that I'm supposed to be worried about modesty? Rabban Adam, of course women have to make sure that their shaita is something that's not attracting. It looks nice because the biggest raya, which is above and important to point out, is that this whole sugya is in tachshitim. So some wanted to say that the shetel's problem is because it's made to look nice. Yes, the source of the shetel of the Peyanachris was actually a tachshit. The Shulchan Gibarim points this out too.
Shalait is kanal baila. Yeah.
Exactly.
Rav Daniel, that was fantastic. Okay?
And David, I love you. Atzachas, you have to do shema.
Cult of Rav Daniel. Cult of Rav Daniel. Joining us is Dini of Dini Wigs. She's the creative director. She's Muncie, Israel. Everywhere you go, you see Deanie's books. Welcome, Deanie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So let me ask you, what exactly is a lace front and lace top shaitel? Like, what's the difference between them? How are they different from a regular shaitel? To the layman, how would you explain it?
Okay, so what I could say is like this. A wig is actually created from a couple of parts. There is a neck. There is a multidirectional top, which could be either that or a lace. And on top of those, we have the hair that goes on top of that. So basically, any wig is made out of a base and then hair, which is attached to the base. That base could change. The base could change by being partially lace or full lace.
Dini, before lace, what was it historically made out of?
So really, lace is around for many, many, many years, and we just made it into something that is lighter, more comfortable, and more natural looking for specific kind of look that a person is trying to achieve.
Can you see through to the hair underneath?
If you're going to hold a piece of lace, yes, it is see-through. But once you put hair on it, it becomes not see-through because the hair is actually installed and sewn onto the lace, which makes it not see-through.
Okay, now, if they part it, can you see the scalp, with the part where the hair isn't covering?
What we do is we do a certain technique. I can't tell anybody about different companies, but I don't know if some people remove the hair on the part. We do not remove the hair on the part. I can't talk for different companies. As for our company, we do not remove hair on the parts of the lace.
So you would not see the hair underneath at the part.
It's not your hair. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Let me preface this. Ramesha Feinstein says that if other women would know that it's a shaitel, there's no marasayan. And he doesn't say all women, but rave women. So if you had 10, 6 out of the 10 would know it's a wig. So if a woman with a lace hair shaitel walked into a room and there were 10 women there, would they mistake it for their natural hair, or would they just think it's a really good shaitel?
I would say they would think it's a really good shaitel.
Okay. Here's a question. Before you produce a new shaitel, do you ask a rub or anything like that to get an opinion, or you
definitely,
just sort of know what you're doing?
Definitely. No, I know what I'm doing, but I for sure, I'm an Orthodox from person, and I definitely ask my Das Torah of any kind of business move that I take, and definitely if I'm investing a lot of money, and, wigs are expensive, it's not it's something that we invested, and we were, we wanted to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
So just question, as somebody who has a wife, when you say they're expensive, what would it be?
A wig could go, if you're talking about Deanie wigs, they could go from around $3,000 to $12,000.
Are the lace tops
more? It's not a wig. There are different types of wigs. There are falls that would, not cover the whole, your whole head and your whole hair. And that's where people take out their hair in the front and they kind of mix it together. And that type of wig, by the way, could not be made with a lace. Therefore, a lot of the times the lace is actually a benefit because it could actually cover much more parts of the hair because it's kind of an extension to the net, if you understand what I'm saying.
So you're saying at some level, it's more tzniastic when you wear a lace hair because the front hairs don't
definitely
come out, the natural hairs.
Yes, and even if a person would want to mix their hair, they cannot. I'm an expert on wigs. I've been in wigs since I'm 15, and I'm 48. So I've been around in this business, and the only time that it's really hard for me to tell if it's a wig or not, and when people take out their hair in the front, that is taking hair out in the front is for me the most revealing way to wear your hair covering. Which for some people it's okay. They ask their Das Torah and they're fine with it because they got their head there. Every person should cover their hair the way their Das Torah tells them to do. I have my Das Torah, so For me, it's my personal life and my business. But I think that lately we've been having a lot of issues with, you know, husbands and wives. And we could have a couple come over and come, you know, together to buy a wig. And I see, like, they're like, lace, not lace, like, what should we do? And I'm like, please go get your dust or come back. We have everything. We have lace. We have not lace. We could make the lace look not natural. We could make it look less natural than a regular wig that does not have a lace. I could make a wig without a lace, and I'll cut a beautiful bang, and the person is going to look like they're not covering their hair. So the lace could be used in so many different ways. And the way my doc, you know, the way I want to, you know, present it is that lace does not mean that your wig is going to look like your hair is uncovered.
Okay. So then why, I'm just curious, why did it make such a tumult?
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer. I just know, you know, people are trying to find, I guess, ways to make the holy, you know, to make the Jewish world more holy and more. I'm sure it's coming from a good place. I'm sure it's not coming from a place that is causing conflict. And I've been getting a lot of phone calls. I got phone calls. I recently spoke on my Instagram. This rabbi, you know, spoke about the lace that it's totally okay and whatever. And people really appreciated it because a lot of people are just, you know, because this whole thing started, you know, and nobody wants to go against Rabbanim. And so do I. I respect their opinion. I respect opinions that say that wigs are also completely, and, you know, for everyone, their das Torah is what they're going to have to do because that's them. But if people had, like, really, you know, problems, they're like, you know, thank you so much for talking about it because it made, you know, my wife, I didn't want to walk out with her lace wig if it, you know, it's clearly in the paper that Rabbanim are ushering it. Like, so, yeah, it's, you know, I think it's this subject should be spoken about and should be, you know, clear to, you know, to people of, you know, what's allowed, what's not allowed. They should learn the halacha. And I also want to say that a lot of people that used to not cover their hair or they used to take out their hair in the front, because of the lace top wigs, they started covering their whole head. All their hair is covered. So that, you know, and that's why I really wanted to join, you know, and speak to you and to, I feel like this is my mission in life is to make, you know, to make beautiful wigs. We do cater to, you know, to the hair loss community as well of all ages. You know, that's what Dini Wigs, we do wigs for everybody. But, you know, as being an Orthodox woman, I'm proud to do this mitzvah and to help other women do this very, very difficult mitzvah of covering your hair.
Okay. Do you have any specific type of customer or it's across the entire spectrum?
Across, you know, besides the people that would wear synthetic shaitels, synthetic wigs, we have everyone. Everyone comes.
Okay. Is there any shaitel you wouldn't produce because of tznius issues?
I had a couple of months ago a suggestion to create a wig that the whole hair is exposed on the top, and I was, you know, going back and forth. It ended up not happening. I didn't even go to the das Torah yet because it didn't, you know, go to that point that we're actually going to produce it. But, you know, if a person that is not a Jewish person that has no chiyuv to cover their hair would ask me to make a wig for them like that, I'm in the wig business. I'll make that wig.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I just was listening to your show about the shaitels, and I heard your interview with Dini and what she felt other people would feel about her wigs. I would just refer everyone to the Ami Shavuos edition. That's the May 12th edition of the Shavuos, the Mega Shavuos issue, and of May 12 or 13, there's an advertisement for Dini shaitels. It's like a cartoon, and you can see exactly how Dini feels other people would view her wigs. Thank you for the show. Kultiv.
Hi, Rav David. This is Hershey speaking. I was just surprised because you put on there the owner of the Dini shaitels, and the question you posed was if it's possible to recognize and the shaitel look, are they natural or they, or you see that they're fake, not real hair? And she explained that it's possible to realize it's not natural hair. I'm just going to read an advertisement she posted on the Shavuos magazine, the Ami, and it's a story of a comic picture of woman here, and she, the question she posed was, I saw from a distance and was trying to figure out, are you wearing a wig? It looks so natural. And the woman answers, oh yes, it's a beanie. So she answers, I should have known it. It just looks like it's going right out of your head. So she herself put on her this advertisement, and that's the advertisement that the shaitl looks as if it's going out of your head. I was very surprised how she could say herself that the shaitl don't look so natural. And she herself, that was the advertisement she was putting out, trying to get women to buy the shaitls. I'm not going into it if it's okay or it's not okay. Just know the facts. She is trying to make sure the shaitls look as if it's going out of the head, which goes into the machlokes of the poskim, if it's maris, ayin, if mitzvah or not. Thank you, Kol Tov.